Welcome back, everybody. Of course, what you're hearing beneath me, who is that? The one and only Miles Davis. But that's gone. It's his birthday. Born on this day in 1926. Happy birthday, Miles. And on this day in history, this is, of course, Memorial Day. And on many Memorial Days, we play many conversations with veterans. This Memorial Day is a little different, but we are going to start out with an idea of what Memorial Day really is, where it comes from, and why we celebrate it, and what Decoration Day was, and how, yes, there was a Union general that created Decoration Day, but there is an African-American story that fueled this story from bottom and all around it. And we are joined now by Dr. Carsonia Wise Whitehead. Kate Whitehead is Assistant Professor of Communication and African and African-American Studies at Loyola University of Maryland, author of the brand new book, Notes from a Colored Girl, The Civil War Pocket Diaries of Emily Frances Davis. And Kate, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me to be back on the show.
So on this Memorial Day, it's good to have you here with us and to talk a bit about what this day meant in its complexity. We talked to our dear friend, Ray Wimbush, Dr. Ray Wimbush, and who said to Mark Gunnery, one of our producers, as we were talking about Memorial Day, he said, you know, it wasn't until 10 years old, he was 10 years old, that he knew what Memorial Day was, that in his home they always celebrated Decoration Day.
We did as well. When I was growing up, my dad had us celebrate Decoration Day and told us the history of that. I mean, he talked about what happened on May 1st, 1865, when you had the first celebrated Decoration Day. At that point, Union troops had entered Charleston, South Carolina, and I'm from South Carolina, so this was very dear to my father's heart.
All right.
And so at that point, 4 years earlier, that's where the war had started, in Charleston, South Carolina. And when the Union troops entered, white residents fled the city, but black residents stayed there to celebrate and welcome the troops. And this included the 21st Colored Infantry. For a number of the black residents, this was the first time seeing soldiers, but also seeing black soldiers from the Union, from the North. How exciting it must have been. What is interesting is where they actually had the parade was at a converted planter's horse track. This is where, prior to the war, white residents would go and they would have race horses and they would have, you know, big picnics. It reminds you of the picnics here in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
They converted that planter's horse track into an outdoor prison for Union soldiers. They would keep the soldiers, and the soldiers were dying of exposure and disease, and they were kind of putting them in this mass grave, something very hastily done. They weren't really thinking about it, of course, because these were prisoners. Well, after that, about 28 black workmen went into this area. They erected a fence, kind of built out a small cemetery, and they reburied them in a mass grave. So if you think about this and you set the stage on May 1st, 1865, at 9 a.m., and David Blight, the historian from Yale, talks about this and sets the stage and have you thinking about the fact that they were let in by 3,000 black school children. And they were carrying armloads of roses, and they were singing a song about John Brown's body. They came in first, and behind them, there were several hundred black women. They were carrying roses and flowers and wreaths and crosses. And then behind them, there were several hundred black men who were kind of marching in cadence and leading in the white and black Union troops coming into their area. They actually surrounded this makeshift cemetery, and they were singing the Star Spangled Banner. So they were recognizing those that had gave their life for the cause of freedom, for justice, and liberation. It was about politics. And Memorial Day today is now about cookouts, and it's about being apolitical. But at that time, it was really about recognizing the Union soldiers who had gave their lives for the pursuit of freedom and justice and liberty for people of color.
And I think one of the things I should have started the conversation with was the fact that we're all today somewhere in our communities are sitting down to have this barbecue and to eat and be merry and have some beer and whatever else and family and friends and to remember the men and women who have died in the service of the United States of America in their armed services. But that's why I wanted to start it this way because, I mean, this is a holiday that emanates from the Great Divide in America.
Yes.
There was a General John A. Logan, who was a Civil War veteran, who created this organization for Northern Civil War veterans and created Decoration Day. But it was celebrated in the North in one way, but the only way it was celebrated was that it was the African-American freed people who began the celebrations to celebrate their liberation and the liberation by Northern troops, including all the black troops that came in.
And I think it's important for people to think about this, to know the history behind these days that we celebrate. I mean, we have taken it into, as you said, about the barbecues and the cookouts and the sales. And then we forget that we're actually supposed to be thinking about and remembering those that died for freedom. It began with the Civil War, but we've expanded that. I mean, expanded, you know, during the period that right after Jim Crow, when they started thinking about ways to reunite this country and bring us all together under one banner and for all the men and women who've died for our nation. So Memorial Day is supposed to be about more than a cookout. It began with the Civil War in the free black community, thinking about those who died for freedom and justice and equality. It has evolved to something else now, and I think it's important for us to sit down with our children and with our family and talk about why it's an important day, why it's a day to step back and think about those who gave their lives so you can be here and experience freedom at its best.
You know, so that's why I think this is important, what I said earlier about General Logan, is that I mean, he created Decoration Day because of what happened on May the 1st and when because of what happened in the South with African-Americans celebrating liberation and celebration this day to celebrate both the black and white soldiers who died. And I think that you know, that this is such a critical thing to understand. I think so I'm curious what you think. If people understand this as a historian and as a mother, and as somebody who's involved in the community, so why talk about the importance of understanding the roots of Decoration Day
well, it helps,
for you?
Well, for me, I think a lot about this from two levels. One, because I'm from South Carolina, and I think about how powerful it must have been to have the Union troops march into the place where the war started, where at one point black men were not even allowed to be a part of the armed services. And with the Emancipation Proclamation and the push with Frederick Douglass and Lincoln, black men could now pick up that musket, as Frederick Douglass said, put that ballot together and go forward and fight for freedom and be able to have their voice recognized. To think about how important that is, that that was a critical moment in American history. We have a lot of critical moments. I mean, the start of the Civil War was a critical moment that shifted our nation. The ending of the Civil War was a critical moment. The assassination of Lincoln was a critical moment. That day, when you had black and white soldiers marching into this area, an area that represented money and dominance and power at this horse track, marching in there and singing and laying down flowers and having their school children recognize and be a part of this conversation, it was a critical moment. It talks about the resilience of Americans, in this case particularly African Americans, and even more specifically the resilience of our soldiers, to fight for this idea that you may not even be able to see it in front of you. You just believe it could happen.
Given the legacy of slavery in this country, there's no accident that when we look at liberation and human rights and moving our society forward, we celebrate it often because of what happens in the African-American community and what it's given to the rest of this country. And Kay Whitehead, I want to thank you once again for taking time with the listeners to talk about the roots of this holiday as we go about get it ready to enjoy and party together, understand where that partying came from.
Yes.
So, Kay Whitehead, professor of African history and Africana history at Loyola University, and author of a new book, Notes from a Color Girl, The Civil War Pocket Diaries of Emily Frances Davis. Kay, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy your Memorial Day, your Decoration Day.
Anytime, Mark Steiner, anytime at all. Thank you.
Thank you. And now for the rest of our day in history on this May the 26th, Memorial Day. So on this day in history in 1830, last week we talked about the Cherokees being forcibly removed to Oklahoma. Well, it was on this day that President Andrew Jackson actually signed the Indian Removal Act, which led to thousands, tens of thousands of Native people being forced, a forced march which killed thousands, to march from the Carolinas and the East to Oklahoma, known as the Trail of Tears. And keeping with that theme, on this day in 1864, Abraham Lincoln declared the territory of Montana on this day in 1864, which is the home of many Native American nations. The Crow, the Cheyenne, the Assiniboine, the Gros Ventres, Atsinas, Blackfeet, Kootenai, Salish, Chippewa, Cree, many more nations that live on that land. This is the land that Lewis and Clark came to and Native tribes helped them through. This is the land that the Battle of Little Bighorn was fought, where George Armstrong Custer's 7th Cavalry was wiped out by Native Americans, Sioux, Cheyenne, and Arapaho. It was here in the Bear Paw Mountains that the Nez Perce gave up and came back after trying to flee to freedom. So Montana's rich history begins with the history of its native people. And the great African-American inventor T.J. Marshall on this day in 1872 patented the fire extinguisher. So next time you have a little house fire in your house, which I hope you don't, and press that button, think of T.J. Marshall. On this day in 1896, the Dow Jones Industrial Average first came out. The average price of the 12 initial stocks was $40.94, a tidy sum in those days. On this day in 1943, the Liberian president Edmund Barclay became the first African president to visit an American president in the White House. That was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And on this day in 1956, Althea Gibson became the first African-American to win a major tennis title. She won the Women's Singles Championship at the French Open and was a phenom. Still a legend to this day. And on this day in 1961, many groups were doing freedom rides, and the Freedom Ride Coordinating Committee was founded in 1961 in Atlanta, Georgia. In 1969, the Apollo 10 came back to Earth. It was a test run, a dress rehearsal for the first moon landing. It happened on this day in 1969. Remember, John F. Kennedy said that in 1961, when he became President of the United States of America, that he would ensure that under his reign, or in the next 10 years, Americans would land on the moon. And we did. It created so many jobs and so much excitement. If we could only go back to that time when the government actually invested in our science and created a kind of hope among young people and others in America. On this day in 1969, the National Black Economic Development Conference took place and adopted a manifesto in Detroit calling for $500 million in reparations from white churches. And we'll examine more of that in the coming weeks as we talk to Ta-Nehisi Coates about his new work on reparations that was in this month's Atlantic Monthly. On this day in 2004, Terry Nichols was found to be an accessory to 161 state murder charges because he helped Timothy McVeigh in the Oklahoma City bombings. And we have a number of births I think we should highlight today. Dorothea Lang, born in 1895, was one of America's greatest documentary film photographers, and we'll link to her work on our website. Jack Kevorkian was born on this day in 1928. And we lost on this day Suzette LaFleche. Most people don't know her, but she passed away on this day in 1903, and there were many great Native American women writers and speakers fighting for liberation who were part of the human rights movement. She was one of the leaders of that movement and passed away on this day in 1903. Also, finally today, we'll celebrate Elizabeth Keckley. She was the seamstress to Mary Todd Lincoln. She bought her freedom in 1860 and started her own business in Washington, D.C. She made dresses for people like Verena Davis, who was the wife of Jefferson Davis, Mary Ann Custis Lee, the wife of Robert E. Lee, and Mary Todd Lincoln. After that, she became a friend and confidant of Mary Todd Lincoln, influencing her thinking, and was one of the leaders of the movement, in the abolition movement, and also of the movement that took care of people who fled, the refugee movement of refugees from slavery to Washington, D.C. She wrote an autobiography called Behind the Scenes, or 30 Years a Slave and 4 Years in the White House. It was published in 1868. A businesswoman, a leader, someone who influenced the Lincolns, was given short shrift in the Lincoln movie, though she was in the Lincoln movie, was a businesswoman and a leader of the liberation struggle and Reconstruction and more. And Elizabeth Keckley passed away on this day in 1907. And that is our day in history. For the rest of the day in history, just go to steinershow.org and see what else happened on this day in history, May the 26th.